Today Jesus says to this man who is mute and deaf, "Ephatha," which means be opened. But tell me which is worse, a man who is mute and deaf and cannot tell people or God, or the person who chooses, for one reason or another, not to tell people about God? We can't blame the man who is mute and deaf for his silence. We are to blame for ours. To be opened is not just the command that Jesus gave to this deaf man 2,000 years ago, but the same command that he's giving to us today. We also must respond to this command, ephatha, to be opened. And number one, we cannot give what we do not have. We can't open our mouths or our ears to something that we cannot hear or speak. We must first learn the gospel before it can be preached. What does the word gospel mean? Most of you know, should know. It means good news. But can you articulate that good news? You know, I found that a real challenge in college when somebody asked me, "Matt, can you sum up the good news in one sentence?" Man, I don't think I can. If I had to do it today, I'd say, "I am a sinner, and Jesus died for my sins so that I did not have to incur eternal punishment. He offers me life and freedom." But each one of us should have a way of expressing what the gospel means to us, what the good news means to us. Maybe even a personal witness, being able to tell how God has influenced our lives. Because honestly, guys, that's what brings about conversions. Now, yeah, some people, they read books, you know, but usually they're reading somebody's story, right? Some of you have read Rome, Sweet Home, right? A wonderful book by Scott Hahn about his conversion to Catholicism. Or maybe you've struggled with a particular sin and you've read a book about somebody who struggled with that and how they journeyed through that. You see, it's hearing somebody else's experience and how they handled it that is one of the most effective means of conversion. You have to have the gospel message before you can preach it. Number two, preaching the gospel is not just something we do in the church. It's easy for us to come here. There's nobody outside protesting. Not usually. There's nobody out there with guns saying, "If you go into that church, we're going to kill you." There's nobody standing outside afterwards, I promise. We have freedom in this country, and praise God for that. A freedom that needs protection these days. But it's easy to come in this church and to be asked, "Do you believe in God?" and to raise my hand and profess the creed and to say, "Yes, I believe in the Eucharist," but a lot harder to do it in the workplace and at home and in the marketplace. It's hard to do it when your friends at work are telling dirty jokes, or when you run across something on TV that you shouldn't be watching and you need to shut it off. Or when you hear gossip and you need to not only walk away, but you need to tell the person who's gossiping to please stop. That's preaching the gospel too. In fact, that's really preaching the gospel. That's where the rubber hits the road. Our home lives can also be a place where the gospel needs to be preached. You see, the salvation of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us should influence every decision we make. Our finances, our fertility, our parenting. Why? Because it's an act of stewardship. God has given you salvation. God has given you your finances, as bad as you think they are. God has given you your fertility. God has given you your children. They are not just yours. And so it is all acts of stewardship. Many of you know that my favorite saint, Saint Francis of Assisi, not Assisi, He said this, "Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words." Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Every action of ours should be a preaching of the gospel. Whether it be the way we conduct ourselves in the parking lot after Mass, or down at Dillon's, or at the bank, the patience we show people. But it cannot be an excuse to not use words. And too many of us do that. Well, I'm preaching the gospel, I'm being a Christian by the way I act. And that gives me an excuse to keep my mouth shut. No. You see, the opening of your mouth is in and of itself an action. One of the most difficult sometimes. I'd ask you to ponder this question for a second. Do your coworkers know that you're Catholic? Does your family know that you're Catholic? And for most of you, you say, yes, my family knows that I'm Catholic. Do they know the quality of the practice of your faith? Do they call you a religious nut? Because they should. People didn't ask for followers that would, you know, be lukewarm. It says that his first followers left everything and followed him. One of my favorite parts of baptism is at the very end of the baptism, before we pray the Our Father and do the blessing over the parents, we have a prayer called the Ephatha prayer, which comes from today's gospel. And I bless the ears of the child and the mouth of the child. May the Lord bless your ears so that you may hear the word of God, and your mouth that you may proclaim it. Of course, whenever you put your finger on a kid's mouth, they start sucking. And then I disappoint them, and then they cry. And their mouth is opened. There's also another part in the baptism right before that that is very key for us to remember as an adult. It's the anointing with chrism on the top of your head. In the Old Testament, God would send a prophet to a community to anoint a priest, prophet, or a king. They would literally come and dump a jar or a container of oil on the head of the person who was being picked to be a priest, prophet, or a king. Jesus came to fulfill those three roles, but in our baptism, we participate in those three roles. In other words, when you were baptized into Jesus Christ's prophecy. If you don't feel like your faith is alive, if you feel like sometimes your faith is dead, could it be? Could it be that we're not living out what God made us to be in being a priest who offers a sacrifice to God, a prophet who speaks the word of God, and a king who reigns with God? Today, Jesus has given you a twofold command when he says, Ephatha. Number one, that your ears have to be open to hearing the word of God and understanding it, and that you cannot give what you do not have. And number two, your mouth, so that you can proclaim the good news of God, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. I want to leave you today with a poem that St. Teresa of Avila wrote. She was born in 1515 and died in 1582. It is called Christ Has No Body. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, Yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours.